you are joining us in week three of a series we're calling Summer Prayer Journal, and we're taking this summer to call our church family to focus on this spiritual habit of what we're calling prayer journaling, and that's writing our prayers, our conversations between ourselves and God down, and really our hope is that as you try this summer, you'll be able to cultivate the ability to hear God's voice better, to understand what he's saying, and to respond to that. And so last week, our pastor, Sean, he taught us, and you've got this in your bulletin, it's kind of seven basic steps to prayer journaling, and it's centered around a daily process of being in God's Word, daily reading his Word, and then using our journal as, again, just a tool and a resource for how to hear from God through that. And so we talked about that last week, and I believe if you missed that message last week, it'll be important for you to go back. You can go online, and you can either watch it or you can listen to the podcast and catch up, because throughout the rest of the summer, that's going to be a foundational teaching you're going to want to hear. And we're just hoping that, again, as all summer long as a church family, we can be hearing God's voice together and learning how to do that in a better way. I shared last week that I learned how to do this habit when I was 13 years old, and I've been using it ever since. These are a stack of some of my journals. I actually have shelves full of journals in my office. Prayers I've written, these are the ones that aren't falling apart yet, and so these are some journals, and what's cool is this is the one I can tell you. This is the one right here where I went to India when I was in high school and what God spoke to me there. This is the one I shared about a month ago where God spoke to me about my call to the city. This is, you know, I've got them all. I think this is the one where, I don't know, I think there was a word about the name that we were going to give our first child. And so, you know, just it's interesting to be able to look back at this. And I love it. I love what this has done because God has used these as a resource to grow my faith, to grow my trust in him. God's used this just to sensitize my ears to the voice of God, to be able to hear him, not just in these moments, but all throughout the day. These journals, they have recorded in them I've confessed some things on paper that are pretty honest, and I've made some hardline commitments to the Lord. There's things in here, there's bold prayers I've prayed. There's some impossible dreams that I've believed for, written down. But the best thing about journaling for me is I have a written record of God's answered prayers in my life. Isn't that awesome? I mean, isn't that, talk about a way to strengthen your faith. In fact, I actually have one journal. I don't have it with me. It's got three lines on, three columns in every page. It's the date I prayed, the prayer I prayed, and the date God answered the prayer. Isn't that cool? And I just have pages and pages and pages of that. And talk about a way to strengthen your prayer. For me, if you know anything about me at all, that may be the most important benefit of prayer journaling. And that's because apparently I have a pretty awful memory. Honestly, I cannot win any argument at home because I just don't remember. You know, I just don't remember what I said. I don't remember what you said. I don't, you know, and so eventually I just surrender. I mean, there's no point trying to, you know, argue. I don't have any details to my argument. In fact, I was telling my wife, Hannah, about this week, and she said, you know, maybe your bad memory is the reason why we have some arguments. And I said, I don't remember that being the reason ever. So, anyways, I think I won that one. I'm pretty sure. Anyways, no, but seriously, it's amazing how easy it is for me to forget God's activity in my life. It's amazing how nearsighted I can become, how I can't see beyond my immediate periphery. Anyone ever been there? It's something that happens so easily, so naturally almost, and yet when I'm consistent in this weekly journaling my conversations with God, when I'm consistent in his word, I can look back and I can say, man, God, you have been working. You have been speaking. God, 6 months ago, you began speaking to me about what I'm walking through right now. I have that written record. It's such a powerful resource. As our pastor said last week, the Bible is God's written word with the world, but our journals can be God's story written to us. And so it's just such an important thing. And that's why we're encouraging everyone, even if you're not a big writer or journaler, I actually have a note on my phone that is just when I'm out and about and I feel like God's speaking to me, I open it up, I have a prayer note, and I just journal there. That might be what you do. But we're just inviting everyone to try this. Just take a step, whatever it looks like in your life, to do that and experience prayer journaling this summer. So as I said last week, we talked about how this whole thing is really centered, and hearing God's voice is centered on God's word. In fact, you can say it this way, and I actually need a clicker, Stephen Allen, Russ, if you could take me to the first slide while I get this off here. Isn't that amazing? You guys didn't even know it was hiding back there. I didn't either. But this is what we say, is this, that God, the Bible is God's primary voice. The Bible is God's primary voice. It's God inspired the Bible. He inspired the authors. He's the originator of its content. And as such, the Bible is the main way we hear from God. It reveals to us his perfect, his pleasing, and his good will. That said, here's something interesting about the Bible, and that's this. The Bible doesn't reveal the logistics. The Bible doesn't always show us the everyday, the step-by-step, the decisions we're supposed to make. Scripture doesn't necessarily divulge whether we're supposed to go here or there, right? It doesn't tell us whether we should pick this job or that. It doesn't always say whether, you know, this college degree or this one. It doesn't always give us the words that we should say to our teenager or our preteen or our preschooler. It doesn't always spell that out. And although in the Bible its truth is timeless, it doesn't always reveal if it's now or later, right? In fact, I want to say this. God uses Scripture as his primary language, but it's not the only way he speaks to us. It's not his only language. And here's a key way you can remember that, and that's this, that God gave us the Scripture to be our guidelines, but he gives us the Holy Spirit to be our guide. God gives us the Scripture to give us the principles, but he gives us the Spirit to speak to the practice. And so we're going to look at that. Look at this promise from Jesus. It's recorded in an eyewitness account of one of his followers, and this is what Jesus was telling them, and it's so important for all of us. He says, I tell you the truth. This is Jesus talking. I tell you the truth. It's for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor, that's the Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He is the one who will guide. The Holy Spirit was always part of Jesus' plan A. He sent him, and he said that he promised his followers. He said, I will send him, and he will be with you, that we will have access to the voice of God our Father through this Spirit. He will be our Counselor. He will be the voice of truth. He will be the one to guide and to teach us and to be with us. And so over the summer, what we want to do is we want to take a look at 6 secondary languages of the Holy Spirit. And they're secondary because we test them by the primary, which is Scripture. And so we're going to look at these, and it's not an exhaustive list by any means, but these are just the 6, and what we hope is that you will see and also experience how God speaks to us through desires, through doors, through dreams, how God can speak to us through pain, through people, and through promptings. Those are the 6 we're going to look at this summer. Those are the 6 we're going to be talking about, and today we're going to hone in on this idea of promptings. Promptings, the leading of the Holy Spirit, the words that have been used, or being moved by him. There's dozens of stories in the Scriptures where we see ordinary people experience these crazy divine promptings from God that not only changed their life, but changed the trajectory of the world. There was a cupbearer in Babylon named Nehemiah who had this crazy prompting, and he went and rebuilt a wall in Jerusalem. There was a crazy prompting that led Philip to intersect with an Ethiopian eunuch and share the gospel with him in the middle of nowhere, and it led to an entire nation being changed forever. There's a crazy prompting that led Ananias to pray for a religious extremist named Saul. Simeon, He was moved by the Spirit to go to the temple and meet an eight-day-old baby and his parents to declare, "This is God's chosen Messiah." Jesus himself was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the enemy. And Paul was compelled by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. Like I said, there's dozens of these stories where people are prompted, ordinary people prompted and led and moved by the Holy Spirit. But it's not just a proven experience. It's a promised experience. It's promised to us. In fact, this is what's so important for you and me to receive, is that Jesus wants you to live a life where promptings by the Holy Spirit are the expectation, not the exception. Where he wants to raise the bar of your normal to his normal, where you are filled with his Spirit every day and you're walking that way, responding to his promptings. In fact, look back at that scripture Jesus used when he was talking about the Spirit of truth. He says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth. And then look what he says. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. There's no conditions here. There's no ifs or there's no buts. There's only one constant, and that is that God, Jesus, sent the Holy Spirit to speak. To speak. He sent that Spirit to speak to us, that we could receive his voice. It's who he is, and it's what he does. And what we see in the stories of Acts is that days later, about 50 days later, this is what happened. Jesus sent the promised Holy Spirit, and not only did he baptize those 12 followers, but he filled them with the Spirit of truth, and he prompted them by his voice. Not only did he do those things, but his invitation was that anyone could experience this kind of life, was that we could all be filled with the Spirit and all walk understanding and hearing his voice. It was always part of the package, this new life that Jesus offers us. It's not just that he gave us something. It's not just that he saved us by his stripes from something, but it's that he wants to fill us by his Spirit for something. Let me say it another way. Jesus' offer is less about a life without some things, without some sin, or without some direction, or without, you know, being limited. No, his life is more about a life with someone. And not just any someone. An all-seeing, all-knowing, all-perceiving, all-powerful, all-sufficient someone. A someone for whom nothing is too big, and a someone for whom nothing is too small. A someone who's keeping the earth right now, speeding through space at 67,000 miles an hour. A someone who spoke into life over 5 million species. And a someone who wants to speak to you. This is his offer. This is his offer for you and I. I don't know how to stress it any other way, that this is the ordinary. This was the plan B he designed us for. This was the ordinary, a life filled with the Holy Spirit, hearing and responding to his promptings in the everyday. When we know how to recognize that still small voice of God, and then we have the courage to follow it. Jesus wants it to be the expectation, not the exception. And that's the life that we're invited into. That's, I believe, this summer what God is really calling us to. And here's my challenge to you. Here's the thing we can't forget, is that if we will learn to obey the promptings of God, and if we will learn to obey them in prayer, there's no way in which God cannot use us. And so I want to talk today about what that looks like. I want to kind of get down to brass tacks, if you would, and just describe what does it look like to live life in such a way that we're really living prompted by the Holy Spirit. And I thought, to do that, there's no better person to hear from than someone from our church family. He is an elder for our church, but he's also on staff with us, and his name is Chuck King. And I want to welcome him up. Would you welcome Chuck King up with us? Chuck, Chuck's a good friend of mine, and he's from England, and so I call him Sir Charles. And he calls me Lord Brandon. I like that. That's pretty... Anyways. He's the only one who calls me that, by the way. Chuck, yeah, just feel free to have a seat. Chuck, so anyone who knows Chuck knows that he just has a certain responsiveness and a maturity. Sorry, you're those notes. Yeah, sorry. You need that? Here. You know what? I've got a stack of books. I don't know who put them there, but I'll just, here. Chuck has a certain responsiveness to the Spirit of God that is so powerful, and it's so mature to me. I think I've seen that. I think anyone who has seen that. In fact, Chuck is writing a book right now about the times that God has spoken to him in his life and how God has shown him some of the truths of the world through these promptings and moments like that. And so I just think it's really great to be able to hear from him. He has a lot of stories, times that he's heard the voice of God. You've got a long history of doing that and responding to him. And so I want to invite him to share some of those stories. And again, to describe it, it's not prescriptive, it's descriptive. God may not speak to you in these ways, but I believe that as we hear some of these stories, there may be some things that God speaks through Chuck that are for you to hear and receive. So just encourage you to listen, to lean into this, and see if the Lord would speak to you about what this could look like in your own life. Good? Great. All right, so Chuck, as I said, you've experienced hearing the voice of God and his promptings for a long time. Talk about kind of, even since the early days of your faith, talk about that. You told me a story about the day after you got saved. How old were you? And share that story a little bit.
Well, it was January the 23rd, 1986.
Woo!
And I was a professional churchgoer in England, but I didn't know anything about anything, really. And some dear friends invited me for a meal. They shared their testimony, and it was around their dining room table where I just heard Jesus say to me, "That's all I want you to do is to invite me in." And I said, "Yes, you know, come in." I mean, I don't think my friends knew about that. So the rest of the evening was a bit of a sort of fog. But when I left the house, the husband gave me a little leaflet. And so I was still in a bit of a daze, so I just stuck it in my jeans pocket and went home. And in the morning, I used to have a greenhouse, big greenhouse business. And I was there early on Saturday, and I was in a bit of a dream. You know, something had changed. I put my hand in my pocket. I was actually opening the cash registers for, you know, because it was a retail place. And I put my hand in my pocket for some reason, and there was this, what's that? I pulled this leaflet out. And all I read on it, I mean, I looked at it, and he said, "When you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, very important that you get another Spirit-filled Christian to pray for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit." Well, I mean, I knew the words, but I didn't know the concept. I thought, well, that's strange. I don't know any Christians. I mean, I've been going to church for 28 years. So, I don't want to be unkind. They were lovely people. But they weren't the people that the Lord wanted to direct me to. So there's a first sort of prompting. So I thought, who can I ask? And then I realized and remembered I had a little Saturday morning guy in high school. He was brilliant, little Fred. He was my best Christmas tree seller. He was great with the customers. He was polite and everything else. And I found out later that he'd been praying for me for 5 years, you know. Hallelujah. So I thought, well, I think his parents, I'd only met them twice briefly. And I thought, well, they're a bit weird, a bit strange. I think they're Christians. And because I think one day they'd actually told me they were born again Christians, and I thought, interesting. You know, but I sort of thought, well, perhaps I should phone them up. So I called them up. It was really strange. It was about 8:10 in the morning. So I phoned them up, and I said, "Oh, hello, Fred. This is Big Fred." I said, "It's Chuck King." And before I could say anything else, I heard all these sort of, "Margaret, it's Chuck King on the phone. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord." You know, so... I mean, I thought, what? You know, my worst fears were confirmed. You know, they were rather strong. And when they calmed down, I said, "Well, I think I need to come around and talk to you. He's come around now. Margaret, Chuck King's coming around to talk to us. Hallelujah." So I put the phone down. I thought, oh my gosh, what am I walking into? But I went around to see them in their house, and They invited me, and I told them I had received Jesus as my Savior, and they were just praising God, hallelujah. And they said, well, sit down, and I'll tell you what happened this morning. He said, 5 o'clock, the Lord woke Margaret, that's his wife, up and myself, and told us to pray for you and to pray that you would call us this morning and you would come around and see us. And we've been praying since 5 o'clock until about 7:30 when we had some breakfast. So I didn't know what to make of it all, you know. So I said, well, I get here I am, you know. And interesting, Margaret, the wife, actually had Hodgkin's disease. She was in a wheelchair. And she actually died 6 months after, you know, this experience. Lovely Christian. And I'm sure she went forward every Saturday at her Pentecostal church for God's touch on her life. You know, I mean, I love the mysteries of God. I mean, but she was my sort of spiritual mum, and he was my spiritual dad. So he said, well, this is what we've got to do. I mean, I sold them this leaflet. And he said, absolutely, we know what we've got to do. We've got to pray that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, I was telling this story to somebody a few months ago, and they said, well, when I got saved, I got all that. You know, if you've got Jesus, you've got everything, haven't you? I said, well, let me put it this way. When you receive Jesus, you also receive an invitation to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Right. You know. And we're reading Acts at the moment. And I just said to Sean this morning in our prayer meeting, that's amazing. When he got to chapter 4, and people keep on getting filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, it's not a one-time thing. Paul says, keep on being filled with the Spirit. So anyway, they prayed for me. Nothing happened much, but I mean, it was just lovely, and they were lovely, and I didn't think they were weird. For some reason, I had a peace. And a week later, I was in the shower singing an old hymn, because I'm an Anglican, and I love the old hymns, you know. And suddenly I began to speak in some strange language. Oh, whoa, what is that? And I thought I was probably having a nervous breakdown or something. But anyway, I went to see somebody, and they laughed, and they just said, no, that's the gift of tongues, and look at it here. So, you know, I mean, I was so new, I knew nothing about anything. So that was pretty standard. So there's a lesson, isn't there, about prompting. They were prompted by God to get up and pray for me, and pray specifically. I was prompted by what I know is the voice of the Lord to just invite him in. That's all he wants. He just wants us to invite him. He didn't want to come and push himself in. So, and I was prompted, I believe, put my hand in my pocket because I'd completely forgotten the leaflet. I was prompted to think, who do I know as a Christian? I mean, I didn't think of anybody in the parish church where I went to church. That's weird. But they, of all people who I didn't know, and I thought were rather freaky, they were the people. God, you know, they weren't. Of course they weren't. They were full of the Holy Spirit. But so there was a prompting, you see. So, yeah, if you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit, or you think you have, make sure, because you can get filled again this morning. You know, I ask, my wife and I ask every morning, Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. I
Powerful.
Mean, you've called us to do something. It's not an experience you're after. It's a closer relationship with Jesus.
That's it.
And he's got work for us to do. And you can't do it without the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit to do the things that he's calling us to do. Yeah.
It's good. It's good. Chuck, I know you kind of, from this story, I know there's something on your heart to share with us. I don't know if it'll, here it is on the TV. Being obedient is the urging of the Holy Spirit.
It's like being in the sea when the waves come in. You're carried along, you know. You mentioned Philip.
Philip.
And how do you translate what you read in here, you know, hundreds and thousands of years ago, to me living here in Chester or wherever now? You know, those are the principles that Brandon talked about. Somehow we have to put it into practice. I mean, Philip went up and found himself walking alongside an Ethiopian eunuch in a chariot or something. He was looking at the Bible, didn't know what he was, couldn't understand it, you know. And Philip was able to lead him to Jesus. Today, I mean, well, last week, Sean left our elders' meeting, and he goes down to Walmart. Was it Murphy's Garrett Service Station? Yep. And they led three people to the Lord, you know, in a car in the service station, getting gas. So, same principle, just a slightly different practice, you know. The trouble is, some people try and take this and stick it today, and that can be hard work, you know. If you go around looking for a chariot with an Ethiopian in it, you know, you're going to have a hard time.
Few and far between these days. Yeah.
So, you know, just be obedient to what the Lord is saying to you.
Yeah.
Even if you can't work out all the details.
Yeah. I think, as I was thinking about this word this week, and this story you're going to share, I know there's something, I feel like often we're asking the question, how do I know? God, how do I know that's your voice? How do I know? And that's the question we're often asking God. And I feel like really the question that's being asked of us is, even still, will you follow? That we don't always know. We don't always understand. And Chuck, I know you've, there's been, this is the important idea. We have to be obedient. And yet, I know that you've had moments when you've struggled. You've heard the prompting or felt the prompting of the Holy Spirit, but you've wrestled with kind of falling through. Can you share a little bit about that story?
Well, please put your hand up if you get it right all the time. I want you to come and lay hands on me.
Second row. All right.
Because, I mean, we are going to make mistakes. We're going to miss it. But, you know, God is so gracious because he sort of, sometimes he just pushes us in a corner to speak to us, you know. And I was a fairly young Christian. I was still going to the Anglican church, parish church, but somebody in the cathedral who counseled me sent me to a Pentecostal church. They were Baptist, but they were, you know, Pentecostal.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I didn't know what a Baptist church did. I mean, I was so ignorant. And so I went there in the evenings, and it was amazing. And yet the Lord, you know, kept me at the parish church. I was trying to share, you know, what I had discovered. And this, we used to have a Thursday morning communion service. So it was a great big old Victorian church, All Saints Church. And they had a side aisle with a little altar on it, you know, and not the main altar, because we don't need altars now. But anyway, that's another story. So there we are. And Thursday morning, so I'm a new Christian, things are happening, and I'm helping with the communion. There are only eight people there. You know, it's Thursday, 11 o'clock. And the vicar, minister, priest, whatever, said to me, oh, can you go make sure the main doors are wedged open? So I walked down, you know, it's probably three times as long as this. It was like a great big thing, you know, great big church. And I walked down, and this woman had come in and sat at the very back of the church. And all the way down there, all I could feel or sense or hear was the Holy Spirit saying, I want you to go and talk to her. She obviously looked upset. She was a visitor. She didn't know our church very well. That's why she was sitting at the back. I mean, she just wanted to go and sit in the church, I think. But we were having this little, we're going to have this little communion service. And, hot and clammy. I thought, I have no idea what to say. And I walked and I smiled at her, and the Holy Spirit is sort of pushing me, saying, just go and talk to her. You know, and I said was, oh, would you like to see the priest? And it's like the Holy Spirit was going, oh, you know, oh, what is that? You know, so I walked past her and I was smiling, you know, and she was crying. She was probably in her, I don't know, early 50s. And I walked, make sure the door was open. Then I come back and I've got to do the whole thing the other way, you know. So I took a deep breath and the Holy Spirit said, go and sit in it, go and talk to her. You know, that was, would you like to come and join us? You know, no, I'll carry on walking. So anyway, I felt thoroughly wretched. So we had our communion, but I mean, that meant nothing to me then. I just felt awful. And I went home and I just got on my knees and I was crying. I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm so stupid. I don't know whether it's my pride or whatever. I let you down so much. You know, I said, oh gosh, what a disaster. Well, lo and behold, that was on the Thursday. The following Wednesday, I had been invited to go to one of the Pentecostal cell groups, you know, small groups. You just call them. They've all had all kinds of names, haven't they? It was cell groups. That was the flavor of the month then, cell group. So it was in people's houses. I mean, I didn't know anything about cell groups. I didn't know anything about having a home Bible study. But okay, here we go. Another new experience with Jesus, you see. So I went in, and it's really weird, isn't it, when you sit around in a little circle, and you're as close as me, and we've just had some ham sandwiches or something, and then we're singing at each other. Like, I'm used to singing, you know, like being in a bus, like you lot, you know, back to back. You know. Yeah, but when you're actually in a circle, you're singing at people, yeah. Choruses that I didn't really know, so I kept looking at the words, you know. I'm pretty good on tunes, but, you know. That was a weird experience. But then they got down to the Bible study, and then one of these questions, they were lovely people, you know. There was probably nine of us. And one of the questions came up. Have you ever let God down by not responding to the prompting of the Holy Spirit? I thought, this is a setup. I mean, they didn't know me, and I'm from London. They are all from the Midlands, and people in the Midlands tend to think all the people in London are a bit snobby because we talk like the Queen a bit, you know. And everything is made in the Midlands, or used to be, you know, and all they do in London is push paper around, you know, and the banks and all this stuff. But anyway, we've gone on. So I just dived in, and I said, well, this is what happened to me, and I told my little story, you know. There was an older couple there who are now dear friends. And he said, what day was that? And I said, that was Thursday. He said, what, about 11:30, 11 o'clock? I said, yeah. Oh, he said, that's Mrs. I can't remember her name now, Mrs. Jones. She said, she lives near us. We met her walking down the high street. It was all pedestrianized, you know, and we were doing some shopping. And we could tell she'd been crying. We said, oh, what's the matter? She said, well, and she told us she'd been to All Saints Church because she was going through a horrible time in her life. And she said, so we took her home, and we know she lives near us somewhere. So we took her home, we gave her some lunch, and we had a cup of tea. You know, that's the answer to everything in England. Is and we prayed with her, and they just loved her. But you know this poor woman? I'll tell you her story quickly.
Go for it.
She was a Roman Catholic. Her husband had divorced her, and he died a week later of a heart attack with his new, I mean, he'd gone off with some woman, you know. So because she was divorced, she couldn't go forward. There was some rule in the Catholic Church that in that area, I don't know, that she couldn't take Mass. Could take communion because she was divorced. If it had happened a week later, they would all be bringing fried chicken round, or the English equivalent of fried chicken, you know, because she'd be a widow. I mean, and this poor woman, she couldn't come, she didn't feel she could come forward and have communion because she was a Catholic and she was in a Protestant church. I mean, what a nightmare. What has the church done to people? What she needed was a cup of tea, some lunch, and somebody to pray with her and love her up. I mean, we are such Pharisees. Really. So they're telling me all this. They knew this woman. So I went home, and I said, Lord, that is so amazing. And the Lord said, look, don't be condemned. I just wanted to bless you. I heard her situation. I saw it. I was going to try and reach her. I just wanted to use you, that's all. Because she came into my house, and you know, but you know, don't worry about it. I'm going to teach you how to recognize my voice. You know, my sheep hear my voice, but we've got to recognize the voices because you're going to hear other voices. You know, and I want to say something I missed in the story of Margaret laying hands on me. You know, they asked my permission, by the way. I mean, I didn't know what was going on, but they did ask my permission if they could touch me, which is a point to bear in mind. But she actually said, and I've never forgotten it, she said, whatever you think God is saying to you, or however the Holy Spirit prompts you, test it in the Bible, in the Word of God. And she said, I'll never forget this, she said, let the Word of God dwell in you richly, so that you can test everything and approve it. So when we get promptings, I mean, we have the Word of God. You think, you know, if it doesn't match what the Lord has said in here, then you better have another think about it.
Yeah.
But if it does, go for it, you know. Just go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's great. And I think, appreciate that. Can we say thank you to Chuck for those stories?
I've got one more. I've got to share this. Very quick one.
Yeah?
Brandon's wrapping me up because Deborah, my wife, she's going to be here saying something. She said, don't go on and on, you know. So, you know how wives are. But listen, very quick. I mean, I guess
yeah.
We've got to move on.
Hit it.
But listen, there are some nuggets in here, okay? You're listening to what the Holy Spirit's saying. 18 months ago, I mean, our testimony should be current, shouldn't it? Well, 18 months ago, we moved house. It was not our idea. I was retiring. But we kept... We have four times we have the same scripture. I'm going to read it to you because we live by the Word of God, don't we? I wonder if this is going to speak to anybody here. This is Deuteronomy chapter 1. And we got it we were reading through the Bible, and that's where we got to. And then later in the evening, we picked up a devotional book, and lo and behold, it was the same blooming scripture. You know, oh God. And then the next day, somebody else came up and said, have you read this? You know, it says this. This is Moses. In the 40th year, whoa, what a coincidence. Here we are. In the 40th year, on the first day of the 11th month, Moses proclaimed to Israelites all that the Lord had commanded. And he's recapturing everything. And the Lord, our God, said to us at Horeb, you have stayed long enough at this mountain. Break camp and advance into the hill country, the Amorites. Go to all the neighboring peoples of the Arabah and in the mountains, in the western foothills, and the Negev, along the coast, to the land of the Canaanites, and to Lebanon, as far as the great river, the Euphrates. See, I've given you all this land. Go and take possession of the land that the Lord swore that he would give you to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Wow. Yeah. So, oh my gosh. And as we read that, the Holy Spirit prompted us. I hate moving. I mean, what a fiddle it is, isn't it?
It is a fiddler, yeah.
Yeah, packing up. Yeah. So, anyway, but we just knew the Lord was saying, I want you to move. Well, we knew 8 years earlier the Lord had given us the house we were in. We had cell groups, small groups, and all that sort of stuff in it, you know. And we were there. He provided the house, and it's amazing. Now he's telling us to move. But we had a sort of peace about it. I thought, oh, gosh. And we didn't know where we were going to move. We had some pretty exotic ideas, you know. But common sense sort of told us, well, let's pray that we can move nearer the church. At least we can be useful there, you know. And that makes some sort of sense. And we used to go to a prayer for Petersburg every month, Friday night. And they were a bit sort of different. We used to pray, we used to worship. And then there would be what we would like to call a bit of ministry time of some sort. Well, the pastor who ran that was fairly open to the Holy Spirit. And he came up to us afterwards. He said, the Lord's told me I've got to pray for you too. I see a great big for sale sign over your house. And is the Lord telling you it might be time to move house? I mean, we hadn't told anybody because we were like, oh, you need a confirmation. Well, I think it was a confirmation. We just looked at each other and laughed. You know. So then we went. But it took over 12 months. I can't tell you all the details because we haven't got time. And eventually, a lady bought it, lovely Christian, spirit-filled. She paid full price, cash. And the agents were telling us, you'll never get that price. You know? But we were prompted by the word of God, yeah, which is his primary voice, yeah? And he prompted us along the way. He prompted us to hang on. We had a Christian lady come 8 times. She was actually my boss. We didn't really know her that well, but she was a Christian and she believed very sincerely that God was leading her to that house. She would just come and sit in it. We had a camera. We used to watch her, you know, with the agent. She'd just sit there and just, I don't know, absorb it or something. But they couldn't sell their house down in Charlotte County. But I think the Lord sent her just to encourage us that we had somebody in our circle, you know. Mm-hmm. So we just had a piece and eventually we sold it. And here's the neat thing. Limit God. We used to pray a blessing over our neighbors all the time, and when we could, we shared the love of God. But I mean, they were pretty, I don't know, private people, let's put it, older people. And we said, Lord, we just want to bless our neighbors. You know, we sold that house $60,000 over the assessment value, and all their property values went up. I mean, the Lord said, I can bless them for you. Yeah, I mean, we think blessings ought to be one way, you know. So hold fast, be obedient, yeah, and hang on when you get a prompting, even if you don't quite know what's going on, because you're going to be caught up in the plans and strategies of God. Mm-hmm. It could be, now I feel really strong, I need to share this. This scripture, in one, you've been at this mountain long enough, in one version it says too long, you know, but it may not be in your own situation that it's a geographical, you've been at this mountain too long. It might be your heart or something that you've stayed on, you know, a place in your own walk with Jesus you've stayed at. And the Lord is saying, perhaps you've been at this mountain too long now. It's time to break camp. And, I mean, this didn't happen instantly. They had to take all the tents down and goodness knows what else they had to do. You know, but there's a dismantling that has to happen so you can move forward. Mm-hmm. And it could be that God's saying something like that to somebody this morning. You know, I mean, I read this and, oh, my gosh, you know. Yeah, we've got some breaking down to do, of course. So be open to the promptings. As Brandon said, you know, the Holy Spirit's going to speak. He's going to speak through this. He's going to prompt you. Then you get those urgings. Sean went up to those people in the service station, and he was given the next thing to say to somebody and the next thing to say to somebody else. He was prompted, you know. And you get caught up in the... It's all about Jesus. It's about his plan. You know, when Simon of Cyrene was standing there in Jerusalem watching Jesus try to carry his cross, you know, and he's just standing there. You're probably thinking, I wonder what all this is about. I've heard about this guy. You know, he's from out of town. I want to see him. And he's in the crowd. We're all in the crowd. And suddenly, somebody comes and grabs him and drags him in and says, you've got to carry this cross. And I think, you know, Jesus has certainly been talking to me. He said, I'm going to pull you out of where you are. I'm going to put you in the center of my story. He became center player in the story of Jesus. And that's what he wants to do to us. He wants to pull us out from where we've been, where we are, and put you center stage in his story. And the promptings of the Holy Spirit will get you there. So be open to that. That's all I've got to say.
Amen. Amen. Awesome. Can we say thank you again?
The end.
That was the encore, I think. Yeah, that's good. Hey, there's so much here. I mean, Chuck has tons of stories. We have tons of stories. And I think that's what we're saying is there ought to be stories of all of our lives. And the Holy Spirit spoke and we followed. And we really felt like more than just talking about it and more than just describing it and giving principles to it, we really felt like the Lord said, hey, I want to make sure you take some time to pause. Because the Lord wants to speak and prompt to you individually today. And so we're going to do that. I'm going to invite you to take out your journal if you brought it. In fact, we're going to do this often through the summer. So bring your journals, be a part. But you might want to bring this out or bring out your phone if you want to bring it up. But we're going to just take a minute to have some time with the Lord to allow him to prompt our spirits and speak to our hearts. Okay? If it's okay, before we do it, I just want to maybe set a few expectations and a few ground rules, because you won't always be doing this with 300 people in the room next to you. So is that all right if I kind of lay some rules out? Is that okay? So here's the first thing. I'm going to encourage you that as we go into this, that if you sense the Lord saying something to you, I encourage you to write it down. And we talked about that last week. The reason why you do that is because if it's up here in my mind and the whole time I'm wrestling in my mind, like, well, Lord, is that your voice? Is that what you're saying? God, I don't know if, you know, that sounds kind of weird. If that's what I'm doing, I've stopped listening and I'm just testing. But if I write it down, it's there and I can focus on listening and then come back to testing it later. Good? And if it was last night's pizza, well, you can just scratch that part out, you know, but you can test those things from the Lord. So I encourage you to write it down. Number two, let me say this. God may speak something very specifically to some of you today. In fact, we've really been praying that he would, and we believe that he will. But there may be others where God doesn't speak something super specific today. In fact, it may feel like there's just a sense of waiting. I was preparing for this week, and on Monday, the Lord gave me that word. He said, I just want you to wait. Well, for me, I'm a very analytical person. I have my structure, my system, my goals when I'm preparing to share the message on a Sunday. So 3 days of waiting for me is what it turned out. 3 days of waiting. Well, that's like, I'm way off my schedule now, you know. But the Lord was right in his timing. The Lord knew what he wanted to bring, and it was important. But I say that because maybe if the Lord is speaking a sense of waiting to you, it's because he's just waiting for his perfect timing. And we can always wait on his perfect timing. It's perfect. We don't have to worry about that. So no need for blame, no need for any pressure today to hear. I just think it's important that we take time, regardless, to say, Lord, I'm available for you to speak to me. And that's what we want to do. And then number three, I just want to say this. We see that sometimes God, as Chuck shared, often when the Holy Spirit prompts us, it's not just a word for me, but it's a word for someone else. And so we know, too, that God can actually, in this time, God can speak a word that's not just for you individually, but is actually maybe for our whole church family. And so if that happens, here's what I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask that you not speak it out when you receive it. I'm going to ask that you write it down. And here's why, because as I'm believing, again, there's going to be some personal words God's going to speak to some people, and I don't want that to be interrupted. So if God gives you a word you sense is from the Lord, I'm just going to ask you to write it down. And I want to give you permission, if that's true, to just come forward and bring it to me. Because we're going to have a time at the end, if the Lord says something, to just share that. But is that okay if we do that? And just 1 Corinthians, Paul, the Apostle Paul said, hey, when you're hearing the voice of God together, let there be some order to it so that you can receive what the Lord's hearing clearly. Good? Good. So we're going to do that. And so you got your stuff out? You ready? You good? I tell you what, this is more important than any witty, pithy sayings we can come up with. So let's just open our hearts. Holy Spirit, we just invite you here to speak. And not just to play with emotions, Lord, but to speak something eternal. Lord, we open our hearts to your voice. We ask that you would unblock ears today that haven't heard you before. Would you come and just use this moment to prompt us and speak to us in Jesus' name? Just take a few minutes. It's totally fine. I'll lead us through. It's fine. Just take a few minutes to listen.